Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
That Nehemiah chapter number 2 tonight. Nehemiah, I started trying to get to chapter number 3 weeks ago, and we've still not made it there, but we're going to make it there. Probably by the first of the year. Nehemiah chapter number 2. And I've enjoyed studying the book of Nehemiah again. I really have, and saw some things in it, Brother Josh, I've never seen before. I tell you, a good book to read if you're going to study the book of Nehemiah. There's a guy by the name of Alan Redpath. And Alan Redpath, he's an old writer. And if you're going to study the book of Nehemiah, if you're going to study the book of Joshua, and if you're going to study the life of David, you need Alan Redpath's books on those three. Now, he's got them on other people, but that's his three best ones. It's not like a commentary. It's not like a starter outline books. It's just a book on the book of Nehemiah. And man, it's got some great things in it. Let's take a minute to review at what's going on. We've looked at this, and in chapter number 1, the distress that they're in, the problems that they're having, how Jerusalem life waste, and it's just a mess. And one of Nehemiah's brothers come to him. He tells him about this. He tells him about the walls being destroyed. Nehemiah gets concerned about that and begins to pray in chapter number 1. Before we ever do anything for the Lord, we need to make sure we bathe that in prayer. Amen. Nehemiah prays in chapter number 1 that God would show him what to do. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the thought of a vision, getting a vision for something, and not that you eat too much pizza and went to bed too late. That, not that kind of vision, but having a dream. And we can all say what we want to, but one said, I've had a dream. And I want to say something. We need to dream some things. We need to ask God for some big things. And we talked about that last week and looked at that last week. Now I want to pick up in verse number 1 through 10 tonight, but chapter number 2. And I want to talk to you about this, turning intentions into actions. Turning intentions into actions. It's one thing to have a vision. It's one thing to have a goal. It's one thing to want to accomplish something. But it's quite another thing to do that. You know, a lot of people in you could say it this way. You ever heard somebody make this statement? Those people have good intentions right there. They've really got good intentions. You know what? A lot of people has good intentions, but it takes more than intentions to turn something into actions and make it successful. So we prayed about this. We want to see our church grow. We want to see our Sunday school classes grow. We want to see God fill our new sanctuary. Now what do we do? Now let's put that prayer, let's put those intentions or that vision, let's see how to put that into action and see what happens. Are you in chapter number 2? I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible said this, Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? There is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. You ever thought about why was Nehemiah afraid right there? I'll say more about that before I close tonight. He said in verse number 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also setting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. The Bible said in verse number 8, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which apprehended to the place which apprehended to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Now, Father, I love you tonight, and you know the need of the service. I pray, God, that you'd help us. I pray, God, that you'd use us tonight. God, Father, may we get an understanding from your word. God, may we apply your word to our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, I want to talk to you a little while tonight on this thought, turning intentions into actions. Turning intentions into actions. I read this today. It said few people have a real roadmap to turn intentions into actions. It's been said everybody ends up somewhere in life, but a few people end up somewhere on purpose. In other words, they put actions to their intentions. Another one said this, you cannot build a reputation on what you're going to do. You cannot build a reputation on what you're going to do. You know what a lot of people says, I'm going to do this. I thought about this. Brother Denny and Miss Tammy came in tonight, and I was talking to him, and he told me, he said, preacher, I'm not going to be able to help you Friday morning. And I said, that's no problem, brother. I understand. Miss Tammy said, well, I can move your work schedule around if I need to. Brother Denny's retired now. She said, I can move your work schedule around if I need to. We kindly laughed about it, and she said he's had a honey-do list for over a year and still ain't got nothing on it done. A lot of people's got intentions, but they got to put it in action. Are you with me tonight? And I thought about this. You cannot build a reputation. You can't build a reputation on what you're going, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. You know what? I guarantee you, if we was to go back and look, or if we was not necessarily look, but if we was to go back and think about going to bed Sunday afternoon, I try Sunday night to plan my week out. Monday, and you can criticize me if you want to. I don't mean this ugly, but everybody's got to have a down day every once in a while. And Mondays, now that the building's done, Mondays is my down day. In other words, I don't come up to the church office, and of course I do my devotions, but Mondays is my Saturday. But on Sunday night, I try to think about, before I even go home, Brother Brian, what have I got to do this week? Yeah, I've got a planner, and I write in that planner, this is what I need to do this day, and this is what I need to do this day. But I don't know about you, every week on Saturday when I review my week, Brother Ramsey, there's always some things in there that don't have a check mark beside of them. And if we do what we're supposed to based on good planning rules and reading after people that does planning, you're supposed to forward all of that to the next week and make that the priority, the first of the next week, and get it done. I guarantee you, if you've got a planner, you can look back in it and there's probably some things that was never checked. So you said, preacher, what are you saying? Let's put our intentions. We want to build our church. We want to see our church grow. Let's put that into action. 2 weeks ago, we looked at prayer, and then we looked at a vision. A person with vision sees the need, feels the need, shares the need, but he must also meet the need. He must also meet the need. I want to think about, what does it take to make a vision reality tonight? What does it take to turn vision into reality? Nehemiah had already turned his problem into a possibility. Can I say that again? I hope you heard what I said. He turned his problem into a possibility. When you go on, Nehemiah's heart was set on going back and helping to rebuild the city. He had good intentions, but he had to put those good intentions into action. Number one, how do we put good intentions into action? Well, know what the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was set before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his countenance. Number 1 tonight, what does it take to put intentions into actions? Are you ready for it? You got your pen ready? This is deep. Number 1, patience. Patience. Boy, I hate that word. Somebody give me an amen right there, Brother Gray. I hate that word, but it takes patience. It takes patience. Sometimes we've got to spend some time in God's waiting room. God often puts us in His waiting room to keep us from rushing around and trying to do in our own strength what can only be accomplished in His strength. There's a lot of things we can't do within ourselves. It takes the Lord. What did the Bible say in Psalms 27:14? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here's what He said in Psalms 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee in the inherited the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Here's what He said in Psalms 130, verse number 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word so do I hope. She said, preacher, what does it take tonight to turn intentions into actions? Well, number one, it takes being patient. Look with me, Nehemiah chapter number 1. The Bible said this, the words of Nehemiah, verse number 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Haggai, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu. Chapter number 2, verse number 1, it's the month of Nisan. Here's what I found out in studying that. The month of Chislu is what we know as December today. The month of Nisan is what we know as April today. You know what? I've done the math on that, and here's what I found out. There's 4 months from chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 1. 4 months goes by. 4 months goes by. You know what he's doing? He knows there's a work to be done, but he's being patient because God's will and God's timing is two different things. Can I illustrate it to you? In 1985, when Amazing Grace Baptist Church was started, it was God's will for me to pastor this church one day. But it was not God's timing. And I mean, could you imagine 1985? I was 7 years old, Brother Matt. I could have done a lot when I was 7 years old. But you know what happened in 2006? God's timing and God's will lined up hand in hand together. And here we sit almost 17 years later. We've got to be patient sometimes. And you know this about me. You know this about if anybody knows it, especially those of you that's very close to us working on things, I don't have patience. I want it done. I want it done right now. I went in there last night and I took one pew apart, Brother Brian, and I got done taking that pew apart, and in the evenings now that we've kindly got the building done and things are kindly hitting back as normal, here's what I do in the evenings, usually about 4:30, 5 o'clock, if I've been at the church working, I go home, and I go home, and I spend the evening with my family, but we came back up here, and whenever I came back up here, I took that first one apart, and then whenever I got that first one apart, I popped the little part, those little pieces off on the bottom, Brother Robert, and unbolted another one and flipped it over. And Miss Leslie said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to take another pew apart. She said, honey, you've got a whole group of men that's going to be here Thursday night that's going to help you take those pews apart. And I said, but I can get a few apart right now. Are you with me? If we're going to turn intentions into actions, every once in a while, we just got to pump the brakes a little bit and be patient and wait on the Lord. Be patient 4 months. I thought about this. You'll learn that when you're in God's waiting room, He's always at work behind the scenes. Satan will cause us to think that nothing's happening, and that makes us want to get out there and do even more. But God's always at work if we'll just allow Him to do that. As you study this passage, Nehemiah gives us two things to do while we're sitting in the waiting room. Number one, patiently pray. Patiently pray. Matter of fact, when you go on in this, and the king even talks to him and says, "What is it that you need?" Nehemiah in verse number 4, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." In chapter number 1, we see Nehemiah's praying. When we are sitting in God's waiting room, we need to be praying. I remember, man, I got saved when I was 16. I started preaching when I was 18. And right after I started preaching, I was ready to pastor Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown. 18 years old, I could have done better at it than Brother Bobby Robertson running 3,000 people down there. I was ready. And you know what Daddy said? He said, "You just need to be patient and pray. God will put you at the right place at the right time." Brother Ramsey, it's hard when we're sitting in the waiting room just to be patient, isn't it? But what is it? It's a time of prayer. But He not only taught us that, but He taught us this. While in the waiting room, we're to responsibly serve. Not just patiently wait, but we're to responsibly serve. What did He do in chapter number 2, verse number 1? What did Nehemiah do? The Bible said this, that wine was before the king. And he said this, "And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king." You know what he done? He just kept doing what he had been doing. He just kept doing what he had been doing. He continued to serve while he was there. He continued serving. Nehemiah realized that he needed to be fruitful in his current duty. Be faithful in your current situation. Dad always said this, just bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. You say, "Well, boy, I could do this if I was over yonder. I could do this if I was over yonder." Hear me and hear me well. If you're not doing nothing here, you're not going to do nothing over yonder. Just bloom where you're planted. Nehemiah learned to do that. Sometimes our present circumstances are part of the vision that God has put in us. You're not wasting your time when you're serving patiently. You're not wasting your time. You're not spinning your wheels. You're not wandering in the wilderness. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then you know what you're doing. You are serving patiently, praying patiently in the time that God's put you in the waiting room. Number one, turning intentions into actions. Number one, can I say this to you? Number one, be patient. Be patient. This had to be hard on Nehemiah. He's already saw the condition of the walls of Jerusalem. And he's back at the king's palace, and he's sitting there serving at the king's palace. He's not sitting there. He's serving there at the king's palace. No doubt everything going through his mind was everywhere else, but God had not opened the door for him to go everywhere else yet. He's fixing to, but for 4 months, he had to learn patience. Number two, be patient. But number two, watch this. This is not alliterated, but watch this. Be bold. Be bold. I think sometimes that we think that we as Christians just have to be silent. No, I believe we can be bold in the right way. In the right way. I don't think that we are to be arrogant. Somebody say amen right there. But we are to be bold. Let your fears feed your faith. Let your fears feed your faith. Let's watch Nehemiah chapter number 2 again, verse number 2. The Bible said this, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid." I'll say more about that here in just a second. "And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" It was hard enough to get a job like Nehemiah had. He was the king's cupbearer. He lived in the palace. It was harder, though, to get out of it than it was to get it. So Nehemiah went on weeping and went on praying and went on fasting until one day God opened the door of opportunity. He didn't have to speak to the king at all. The king spoke to him. Nehemiah didn't have to go to the king and say, "Hey, king, there's a mess out there." The king said, "Hey, Nehemiah, what's wrong, man? What's wrong, Nehemiah? I thought about this, and I began to study some manners and customs, and here's what I found out. The palace guidelines, or the palace rules, if you want to look at it that way, required all servants to look happy at all times in the king's presence. Listen to this. A gloomy face in front of the king was considered more than just bad manners. Since a sad face was considered treason, an insult to the crown, it could be punished by death. Nehemiah could be punished by death for having a sad countenance in front of the king. He could be punished by death. But you know what? Nehemiah has such of a burden, he's not worried about what the king's going to say to him. It would be tempting. Have you ever thought about this? It would be tempting for Nehemiah to say, "Please forgive me, O king. I'm okay. I'll not be sad again. It has nothing to do with you, I assure you." But he doesn't cave into his fear. In fact, his fear helped him step out on faith. He was bold with the king. I doubt that we can fully understand the faith and courage needed by Nehemiah to be as bold as he was, because we really don't understand what it's like to be charged with treason and be murdered, be killed, be executed simply for looking sad in the king's presence. But Nehemiah could have done that. But Nehemiah has been patiently waiting on the Lord, and all of a sudden an effectual, fervent door of opportunity, what about that, opens up in the life of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is bold and says, "Hey, why should I not be sad? King, why should I not be sad? Hey, the walls of Jerusalem is lying waste. The gates thereof are burned with fire. My people's a reproach, King. That's the reason I'm sad." You know what? In our society today, a lot of times we cower down in our society. Do you really stand for that? Do you really believe that? Absolutely, I really stand for that, and I believe that. Do you really think life begins at conception? Absolutely, I believe life begins at conception. And a lot of times we allow this society to cause us to cower down. Nehemiah was patient, but Nehemiah was bold. If we're going to turn our intentions into actions, we're going to have to be bold tonight. We're going to have to be patient. But number three, watch this. Be dependent. Be dependent. Be dependent. Know what the Bible said in verse number four. The Bible says this. "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request?" Did y'all just catch that? The king just looked at him and said, "Well, what do you need? What do you need?" The king that could have killed him because he was bold to him and he was sad in his presence says, "Well, what do you need, Nehemiah?" Look what Nehemiah says. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." So I prayed to the God of heaven. You know what, Brother Stan, if that had been me, I'd been like, King, I need 27 2x4s. I need 14 4x4s. I need 37 men to work. Nehemiah says, "Well, let me pray about it." You know what Nehemiah was saying? Here's what Nehemiah was saying. First and foremost, I need to know what I say is in God's will. I thought about this. I read this the other day. What God orchestrates or what God originates, He orchestrates. What God originates, He orchestrates. You see, God had sent somebody to Nehemiah. God had put in the heart of Nehemiah what needed to be done at Jerusalem. God had given Nehemiah a burden for building those walls back up. God had given Nehemiah the leadership skills that he needed to bring such of a task to the table and to make sure it got done. God had originated this, but now God is going to orchestrate this. God is going to orchestrate this. Someone said, success comes when 1,000 hours of preparation meet one moment of opportunity. Here's Nehemiah's one moment of opportunity. What do you need, Nehemiah? Well, let me talk to God about it. Would he be severely punished for losing emotional control in the king's presence? Would he be transferred to another position, eliminated? What seemed to be the only possibility for helping his fellow Jews, is he going to eliminate that by the way he approached the king? Would the king even take his concern seriously and pursue the matter further? Why was he so afraid? Because all of this could have happened. But what an opportunity ended up falling in the life of Nehemiah. Why? Because he was patient and because he was bold. And you know what he does? He remembers that it is God and God alone that got him where he was at. And if he goes any further, it's going to be God that takes him any further. He was dependent. He was dependent on the Lord. Nehemiah knew that a great door of opportunity had just been cracked open. And note what he does. He prays. He prays. You say, well, preacher, you preached on that 2 weeks ago. Can I say something else about it? Pray. Pray. You say, what do I need to do? Pray. You say, well, I have prayed. What do I need to do now? Pray some more. Matter of fact, as Brother Heath said on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, as far as I know, it's the only thing that is commanded for us to do without ceasing in the Word of God, and that's praying. Nehemiah, he was patient, he was bold, he was dependent, he was relying on the Lord. Watch this, number four, I'm about done. Be patient, be bold, be dependent, but watch this, be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Have you ever thought, man, have you ever been at work or at this place or at that place and you thought, man, here is my golden opportunity? Brother Aaron works for EMS in the county, and not long ago he had an interview for an FTO. And a field training officer, I think that's what it's called. And I told him, I said, man, go into it with all that you got. You know what happened? He ended up getting that position. He was prepared for that. It was his time. It was his opportunity. Be prepared. Be prepared. You said, preacher, what are you doing? God may be fixing to open a door of opportunity for you. Be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. One thing that we'll see as the church grows, there'll be more need for teachers. You say, preacher, how do you know when somebody's prepared for that? Well, the first thing I look at is faithfulness. Be prepared, man. Be prepared. When God opens that door, since God is in charge, I thought about this, being prepared. Since God is in charge, make big plans. Make big plans. Let's see what kind of plans Nehemiah makes. He prays, and then verse number 5. Watch this, I love this. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. Look at verse number 8. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God, of my God upon me. He was prepared. He's been sitting for 4 months waiting on this opportunity, this door to open up. And the king says, what do you need, Nehemiah? He says, well, here's what I need. I need a letter to take to the governors over there that'll sustain me while I'm over there. And by the way, while you're writing that letter, go ahead and write another letter to Asaph that's over the king's forest out there and tell him that I'm going to need a bunch of lumber to work with when I get over there. And you know what the king does? The king says, all right, here's the letters that you need, man. Go get at it. What if Nehemiah would have sat for 4 months and just twiddled his thumbs and not thought about anything and said, God, why didn't you let me do something? Why am I still sitting here? God, why can't I go do this? God, why can't I do that? God, why have you got me here? But you know what Nehemiah did for 4 months? Nehemiah sat there and he said, you know what? I think it'll probably take about this much lumber to do that. And in order to do that, I'm going to have a bunch of trees cut down. And I'm going to have some of this. And I'm going to have some of that. And he made his list all together. And then all of a sudden, the king said, what do you need, Nehemiah? Well, since you ask, right here is what I need. And the king said, all right, here you go. You know, the reason we don't have a lot of things is because we don't ask for it. Be prepared, man. He was prepared. I thought about this. Proverbs chapter number 21 says this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The king's hand is in the heart of the Lord. Those who fail to plan, you've heard this, plan to fail. God gave Nehemiah the ability to use the knowledge he had gleaned from his days and weeks of careful research. Here's what he does. Step one, he prayed. Have y'all heard that any? Step one, he prayed. Step one, he prayed. Before he done anything, he prayed. Step two, he convinced the king to allow him to leave his service in order to rebuild the wall around the city that in years past posed a military threat to this area. Step three, he convinced the king to lend financial support to building of the project. Step four, he procured letters from the king to the governors in the surrounding areas asking them to provide safe conduct along the way. Step number five, work out a deal with Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, to procure enough lumber to build the city's gates as well as a home for himself. Step number six, ask the king for letters to the governors of Judah. Step number seven, organize and equip the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And step number eight, begin construction. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. He was prepared. He was prepared. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan for your Sunday school class? Do you have a plan for your van route? Me and Brother Aaron was talking about that last night. Be prepared, man. If you're going to turn intentions into actions, you got to be prepared. I read this. It said Chuck Swindoll says, I weary of people who call it faith when they can't tell you their plans. Have you ever heard an individual say, nowhere not going to think this through? No, we're not going to think this through. We're just going by faith. God will lead us. No, we're not going to think this through. We're just going to go by faith because God's going to lead us. The calculating businessman would say something like this. Yeah, you'll be needing more bucks before you get halfway through your project. The presence of faith does not mean an absence of organization. The presence of faith. You say, well, preacher, if you really had faith, you wouldn't have even done a budget on the building. The presence of faith does not mean an absence of organization. You know what I done for 3 days last week? I built a budget on the other two remodels that we're going to have to do, that we're looking at doing. And then yesterday, I spent a long time on the phone with different ones, making sure everything was in line on that, with the bank, with the contractors, and got everything took care of. And then yesterday evening, you know what happened? We fired off an email, and this morning there was a deposit made into our account. Because we've got faith don't mean that there's an absence of organization. Chuck Swindoll goes on, and here's what he says. Some enter the ministry with an enthusiasm, but later drop out because they have not considered the cost. Swindoll goes on to say this: the most disillusioned people I know are those in the Lord's work who are paying the price of not thinking through their plans. Not thinking, be prepared. Number one, be patient. Number two, be bold. Number three, be dependent. Number four, be prepared. Number five, be expecting. Be expecting. Be expecting. What did he say? The latter portion of verse number 8. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. One said this: set your sails and wait for the wind to start blowing. Set your sails and wait for the wind to start blowing. Nehemiah described the key that opened the door to opportunity in verse number 8. And here's what he said. Miss Tina, if you'll come start playing. The good hand of my God was upon me. The good hand of my... Nehemiah knew it was nothing he had done, but it was of the Lord. How do we know God's hand was on Nehemiah? On the spur of the moment, the king decided to give him, as a cupbearer, authority to rebuild the walls. God's hand on your life makes things happen. Everything that was needed for the work of rebuilding was granted by the king. I thought about this. The King of Kings delights to supply his servants and everything that they need for the service he has put them in. For the service. Be expecting. Be expecting. You know what? Sunday morning, if the Lord doesn't come back at 10:30, we're going to have the dedication service / grand opening of our new sanctuary. You know what? Sunday morning, my wife and my children and I may be the only ones here. I hope not, but we may be. Am I expecting that? No. You say, what are you expecting? I'm expecting to go find some chairs and try to put them out somewhere. Be expecting. I said this Sunday, and I'm going to say it again today. What are you believing God for? Be expecting, man. Raise yourself. Let me tell you the reason you may not be seeing anything major take place in your life spiritually right now. What have you got your cell set up for? Is your cell even up? Is your cell even up? You know what? The most predominant and the most wealthy businessman in our county right now, whoever that may be, whoever, it might be the bug man, Robert Potts, sitting right here. Whoever that man may be, there come a time in his life where he raised his sail and waited on the wind to start blowing. And when the wind started to blow, he was prepared for the wind. And now look at where he's at today. I'll just say this in closing. 1985, Brother Junior Easter raised the sail and waited on the wind to start blowing. 2006, you know what we done? Well, my wife and I and our two girls at the time decided that this is where God wanted us to be at. In 2006, July the 30th, we raised the sail up here on these grounds when nobody else was here. And we began praying and we said, God, would you do what only you can do in the middle of nowhere? And you know what? Look around tonight at what God's doing. Does that mean that we let the sail down? No. You know what that means? That means we raise another sail. And we raise another sail. And you know what that means? That means that we prepare. Said, preacher, why in the world are we going to spend another $1,000 put $1,500, $2,000 put more gravel up there on the backside of the cemetery? Let me tell you the reason why. Because we're preparing. We're preparing. You said, preacher, why in the world do you spend $300 on them vests for them guys to walk around out there? $200 on radios? Because we're preparing. Because we're preparing. Say, preparing for what? for whatever he sins. For whatever he sins. Preacher, why have we got cameras all over the buildings? Because we're preparing. Because anywhere God's blessing, the devil's going to start messing. The devil would love to send somebody in and disrupt us in the middle of the service. We're preparing. And be expecting. You shouldn't walk in Sunday morning and go, well, I didn't expect nobody to be here anyway. You should walk in Sunday morning going, you know what? I might have to, this is going to hurt some feelings right here. I might have to give my seat to a visitor today. Expecting God to do something. Nehemiah was expecting. For 4 months, he just sat patiently. He got everything together he needed. He made all the notes. I can see him in there now. He didn't have an iPad and a computer and a self-planning program. I can see him in there maybe like Caleb did. Caleb back there, he took a piece of trim and a pencil and started drawing one night and drawed that pulpit right there. And then after he drawed it, there was some boards laying around here. He went to work, and in just 2 or 3 hours, that pulpit was built. You know what happened? He made a plan, and he executed his plan. Are you with me? I thought about this. He built the top up, and Brother Sean said, we got a cabinet shop. So you know what we done? Loaded the tops up and sent Brother Sean, and he sprayed the tops and put it all back together. Now there's a beautiful pulpit sitting there for the preacher to preach behind. Why? Because somebody had a plan, man. They just didn't have intentions. They put it into action. You see, Sunday school class field, what's your plan to do that? How are you going to make that happen? Well, I'm just going to trust God. Well, you know what Nehemiah trusted God to do? But when the door opened up, Nehemiah said, hey, King, here's what I need. I've been thinking on this thing for 4 months, Hoss. Here's what I need. I need this. And you know what the king could have done? He could have cut his head off and killed him right there. But the king said, all right, well, let me write you a couple letters right here. We'll take care of. You know what? We might just go to the altar one day and say, God, here's what we need. And God might just say, all right, here you go. I've seen him do it before. Putting intentions into action.